Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
They can't stand the idea of freedom, and they can't stand the idea of people thinking for themselves. That scares me. Alrighty, welcome back, Financial Guys Podcast here on the Financial Guys Media Network. Mike Sparazza here today with an exclusive interview with Michael Caputo, Senior Executive at Americano Media. We're going to be talking all things Trump today. Michael obviously knows Trump very well and has been around the rallies in Florida and around the indictment earlier this week. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And by the way, it's nice to be home for a minute.
That's right. That's right. Buffalo roots right here. I'm a little jealous of you in Florida, though, I will tell you that. So
you should be.
I should be. I need to get out of here. So, Michael, first off, before we get into the actual day of the indictment and everything, you know, I was actually at his speech in New Jersey on Tuesday evening. We can talk a little bit about that as well. But let's talk. This started last week, obviously, and way before that. But last week it came down that he was being indicted, and that was coming this week, Tuesday. What were your thoughts when you heard that the DOJ was going to, you know, set him up for yet another indictment?
Well, we've known this is coming for a while. I'm not a lawyer, but I've done a lot of litigation, communications, and PR. And I think I know a rat when I see one, and I know when one's coming for you. I saw this rat coming for Trump. There's still a couple more rats out there, probably at least one more indictment. I mean, this is what we in Washington, I'm not in Washington anymore, thank God. We call it lawfare. You basically monetize a legal attack with attorneys across the country to make sure that you tie them up, you know, whether it's Donald Trump or whatever your enemy is, so they can't move and maybe even they go broke. This is lawfare. It's particularly difficult for these sniveling attorneys to do this to a billionaire because he just keeps, you know, fighting. And Donald Trump, by the way, will never, ever stop. I've known him for nigh on 30 years. He's never going to stop.
Yeah, and I do feel for him. I really do, because whether you like the guy or not, and he said this at Tuesday in his speech a little bit, what his family has had to go through, this is not healthy for America. This is not healthy for anyone, right? The constant smearing and the constant attacking that they've done. And again, Michael, I'll say this. He got raided at Mar-a-Lago. That was almost a year ago now, almost 1 year ago. And it took a year to get this indictment. And there's still no telling that this is going to go anywhere. You would think with all these things that they've done to him over the last 7 years, they'd have something concrete at this point. Not one thing.
Yeah. Well, it takes a little while to create this stuff, you know, yeah. And it takes a long time for the cement to dry. I mean, these folks have been creating this from whole cloth from the very beginning. We know from Russiagate that it originated at Hillary Clinton's campaign. And then the corrupt FBI and DOJ decided to sign on to the Hillary Clinton dossier. So we know this is happening now as well throughout the DOJ. It's get Trump. And it's really the only way they, you know, let me tell you this. I fear there's only one thing left that they haven't done, and that's assassinate him. So as they've climbed this ladder all the way to the top, the most dangerous rung of all, I think all of us should pray for Donald Trump. But in the end, we see this process of the indictment. Those of us who work a long time in Washington and in all these different rat holes, we understand what happened. You know, Comer, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee that was that is looking into all these allegations of bribery against the Biden family, Joe Biden in particular, I can tell you it's true. I know this. I've written a book on it. But Comer was fighting the FBI director to get him to hand over documents that the Congress ordered, and they had the right, the constitutional right to see. And FBI Director Wray was delaying and risking being held in contempt. Everybody around was saying, why is he doing this? Why does he risk personal charges of contempt and the destruction of his agency? And as we now know, it was a timing question. He was happy to give the documents to the Republicans and the Oversight Committee as soon as the indictment against Donald Trump was ready. He was delaying until Smith, rushing along, got his indictment ready. He was risking his own contempt charges in order for Smith to have the time to get the indictment ready. So when the Republicans had the Biden documents, the indictment dropped, and Biden's document scandal, which is a true scandal, and I can tell you it's far more than $10 million of bribes. They've been shaking down nations around the country for years, the Biden family has. That news, terrible news of criminal fraud and even espionage, they're buried under this kind of silly indictment against Donald Trump. This process, as it rolls out, these mistakes that they make and the way that they win are going to become apparent. The delay of the indictment until it was able to be used as a way to disguise the Biden crimes, that was a victory for the DOJ, being able to delay it until it could be used as camouflage. But the victory that is really, truly profound, they won that news cycle, right? We know mm-hmm. that because of the way they camouflaged it. But the victory here is that Donald Trump's trial appears to be planned for being held in Miami-Dade. That's a big deal. I mean, the Miami-Dade voters are largely Hispanic. In my network, Americano Media, we know them very, very well. This very important and growing demographic is moving more and more toward the Republican Party. If you look at Barack Obama, he got 71% of the Hispanic vote in 2012. In this terrible red wave that didn't come through in 2022, the Hispanics voted Republican 41% of the time. The Democrats are losing their hold on a key demographic in their electoral model. And the one thing we know, which is very important, like I see, we have to look into the weeds, like we understand what Ray did to help the Smith indictment of Trump. We have to understand that down in the weeds, we see that the Hispanic community despises this activity. They know what this is. They know what it looks like to see a government go after its political enemies. They ran from this, or their parents did, or their grandparents did. They've seen this movie before, and they don't like this film at all. So now they've dropped this case in Miami because the alleged crimes were committed in the Southern District of Florida. It's in Miami-Dade where Hispanics do not like this. They've already voted in a majority for Donald Trump in Miami-Dade. In 2022, I'm sorry, a majority for Ron DeSantis in Miami-Dade. So we know that this is a problematic jury pool for them. In the weeds of this indictment are the details you need to have some hope.
So, Michael, let's talk about the way people feel, because I think that's really important. So you have the media who is just spewing garbage. And I'm going to include places like Fox News, by the way, because I was watching them in the hotel before I went to Trump's speech the other night. A lot of them are spewing the same garbage that CNN and MSNBC is, by the way. But let's take the media out of it, because that's what they do for a living at times at those stations. They spew garbage. At what point do Americans like you and I, obviously we've woken up, but you and I wake up to say, wait a minute, this is not healthy for this country. This is not. What if the right is in charge and they start doing this to all the people on the left? Right. Because that's coming. I think if Donald Trump gets back in, I got to tell you, I think it's going to be a revenge tour. And I'm all for it at this point.
You can imagine my family, my daughters and myself and my wife. And the way they weaponize the Department of Justice against my family, you can imagine how much I'm looking forward to what Donald Trump calls retribution. Yep. For our family, right? For the 50 families that were destroyed by these deeply disordered Democrats and the corrupt bureaucrats who are in their, in control. I mean, they're being controlled by the Democrats. Let me say this. I'm... You know, my cancer, the Russia investigations, you know, it makes you kind of introspective about yourself and, you know, existence, right? I've gotten closer to my Catholic faith. I'm a flawed man, deeply flawed. All you got to do is Google me. But I'm giving a shot at trying to understand this stuff. When a man like me, who's trying to be a better man, has the impulse to celebrate the idea of prosecuting Joe Biden when Donald Trump is in charge, of weaponizing the federal government against these scumbags who destroyed my family and tortured so many innocent families with a completely fabricated Russiagate sponsored by Hillary Clinton. Those people, I think, should be tortured like my family. My Christian ethic that I'm trying to nurture tells me that's wrong. And right inside me right now, there's a bit of a fight going on because I want to see these bastards taken to the wall. To the wall in court to make sure they're prosecuted for what they've done. And Joe Biden, I've known this for 2.5 years. I wrote a book and did a film on it called The Ukraine Hoax. He's definitely neck deep in bribes from foreign countries. We're seeing a weaponized government that goes after only Republicans, goes after Donald Trump. I promise you, if Donald Trump is not the next Republican president, they will go after that person similarly because nobody gets punished for this. So my feeling is this: if the government is corrupt, if the DOJ is broken, shattered into a million pieces, irreparable, then what other choice do we have than going after them like they went after us? I'm fighting with this impulse, but it's a very strong one.
And I agree with that because I'm not for weaponizing anything, right? Like, I don't think that's a good idea. However, at this point, I don't know what else to do because the left is going to continue to do this, right? And to your point, I don't know that it stops at Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the one right now that they cannot stand, that they dislike. But if a Ron DeSantis gets in, I'm sure he'll face the same war path that they're going on right now. If Vivek Ramaswamy gets in, I'm sure he'll face something the same, right? They can't stand the idea of freedom, and they can't stand the idea of people thinking for themselves. That scares me. Let me go to the day of in Tuesday, because I know you were around Tuesday. So let's hear a little bit about, I know you have a special story to tell as well, but let's talk about the leading up to that, and then we can talk about that story. But let's talk about leading up to that. What was it like in Miami? What was it like, you know, with the both sides I saw protesting there, the Trump lovers, the Trump haters? What was it like in Miami on Tuesday?
Well, I mean, my company, the new company that I helped a great guy found, is a Spanish language news and opinion network that has radio, TV, digital, and we're funded to build out 50 different markets in Spanish language talk radio, all in, by the way, battleground states. It's going to be tremendous because, like I said, the Hispanics are moving right, and this kind of third world attempt to prosecute Donald Trump is going to move them in our column. That's how I'm getting involved.
Yep.
I believe the Hispanic vote will save America. And by the way, one of the cores of the Hispanic vote is Miami, Florida. Ron DeSantis won Miami-Dade, where this courthouse is, by a decisive factor in 2022. Donald Trump has built, along with DeSantis, the strength of the growing Hispanic Republican population down here profoundly, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is not New York City or the federal district in D.C. This is profoundly different. It is a different country here, absolutely. And this place was lit up when we found out that he was on his way down to be arrested and processed in the Miami courthouse. I heard about this before. Most people did, as you can imagine. And we positioned Americano, based here, to cover this story right across from the courthouse. And I asked the president to appear on our network because the Hispanic community, the Spanish language community of Miami-Dade, is a decisive factor in the way the leadership is selected here. And he agreed to interview with our top host. Her name is Karina Simoncada. She is the most popular talk radio host in the city of Miami. She's on our network nationwide. We have a Miami station called Radio Libre, right? So Carines gets a chance, very unique chance, one of two or three interviews he does before he's indicted and before he's arrested. He does a 15-minute interview with Carines in English. And after she got off the phone with him, she called me up. She was upset, you know. It was very clear that she thought that this was profoundly a watershed moment for the United States of America. And she said, I want to do something. She's quite close to the Cuban exile community here, very close to the Christian community. She decided, with our assent, to hold a prayer meeting of Jews, Christians, different denominations of Christianity, all these pastors, we had 32 of them show up at a very famous cafe in Calle Ocho, Little Havana, called the Cafe Versailles. That was the third time I've been in Cafe Versailles with the president. It's Reagan. I went with him. I went with Bush. I mean, honestly, it's the most popular place for campaigning in Miami. We held it there because it was a central place, but also we could get a room for free, you know? And we moved out all the tables, and it was standing room only in this room. And our mission, Corrine Nance's mission, was to have them all pray as Donald Trump was being arrested, which they did. And as you can imagine, it was quite an emotional scene. All these evangelical preachers and rabbis in there taking turns praying. It was an amazing, amazing experience. But in the morning before we, I don't know if it was the morning or something, maybe later, before this happened, I talked to Trump people all the time, as you can imagine. The president got word of the fact that Corrine Nance, who we had just met via radio, was having a prayer meeting. And he apparently told somebody in the advance team, why don't we see if we can stop by? So they called me and said, what if we stop by? And I saw complete and absolute chaos in my brain. I was thinking to myself, say no, say no, say no. And what came out of my mouth was absolutely, right? And so my day went absolutely to shit at that moment, right? I told all the pastors that the president was coming. You could see everybody was excited. It was a standing room only event. There was no food served. You know, we couldn't anyway. There were no tables. Nobody even had coffee. And it was in the side room of the Versailles, a big and beautiful and delicious place that everybody knows, right? So we heard he's coming. As he's on his way over, all the pastors pack into the bakery because the Secret Service hadn't come in to check the place out. It's what the presidential tour calls an on-the-road event, OTR. Secret Service doesn't let him go deeply into it. It's not been secured. So Secret Service showed up, wanted people in the bakery, and in he walked, right? We had the pastors in there, and he came up to two of them that he knew because they had been with him at public events before. And while everybody greeted him, the pastor said, hello again, Mr. President. I would like to pray for you. And the whole place went, yeah. It was an amazing moment. The president came in with kind of a dour look. I guess that happens to you when you've been arrested and you see the fall of Rome all around you, right? Yep. The president feels deeply responsible to try to fix this country. And he saw what is no question an historic moment. And he walked in, I believe, in a dark mood. I think he would be. He had just come straight from the court to my meeting, right? He walked in, and the place just went nuts. I mean, these are Cubans and Venezuelans and Colombians. They went nuts, right? And, of course, they went nuts and their pastors, right? So it wasn't like anything you've ever seen before. The spirit was really evident in that place, if you believe in the spirit. And if you don't believe in the spirit, I urge you to fix yourself. My moment of the day happened after the English language prayer. The president, I was looking at his face. I was right in front of him. And the president had a nice, kind English language prayer where the preacher said, we Cubans will not allow communists to come here, comparing what's happening to Donald Trump to what happens in communist countries of Latin America. Now, that was nice. The president has met this preacher before. He had heard his kind words before, and he thanked him. And then a rabbi leaned forward and touched the president on the chest. And he said, Mr. President, may I pray for you? And the president said, of course. You know, he saw his yarmulke, knowing, of course, that half of his family is Jewish. The president was taken aback, you know, to hear someone with a thick Spanish accent and a yarmulke. You know, it doesn't come to your mind immediately, right? And so the man started praying in Spanish, right? And the president, I'm right there watching his face. I wish I had gotten this on camera. And he was listening to this man. Now, the president doesn't speak Spanish. I'm very poorly adapted to it. But he, you know, he understands some Spanish. A lot of people around him, and he's interacted with the Hispanic community profoundly. So this man was praying, and as I heard him say something in particular, the president, our anchor, was standing right next to him. She says his arm stiffened up as this preacher was speaking. His arm stiffened up. And at that moment, his face just went from a furrowed brow and a look of concern to one of, it was actually a lot more peaceful. It's as if he understood what the pastor was, what the rabbi was saying. Of course he did not. But sometimes these things defy, you know, the language barriers, right? And after the prayer was over, it was a good long minute. The guy's an orator. It was a good long minute. The president looked up, and it looked like the day he came down the escalator, as happy as a clam. And all of a sudden, the crowd broke out in happy birthday, knowing that his birthday was the next day, Flag Day. The president's birthday is Flag Day. There are no coincidences, right?
That's right.
And so they broke out in happy birthday. And he looked up, and he was so happy and looking around. And then all of a sudden, because the place hadn't been proven, that we didn't get Social Security numbers, this woman stood up. I had seen her sitting there thinking she looked a little bit out of place. She stood on top of a table and screamed, "Mr. President, are you ready to go to jail?" And the whole place turned around to them. Everybody was like, "Get out, get out." And the I was three layers deep from the president. The Secret Service grabbed her and started hustling her out, you know, politely but aggressively, because this is what they call an OTR, and it's an unsafe environment. So as they're hustling her out, that crowd starts taking two, three steps back to let to give them a alley, a, you know, a walkway to get her out the door. And I get my foot stomped on. Now, mind you, I don't like being stomped on, but my right foot is not a good place to step on me because I got a broken toe, right? I got stomped on by somebody inadvertently. And that, you know, I'm Italian. You know, what happens when you stub your toe? You're like, son of a person. It's like, you know, when you stub your toe in the dark.
Oh, yeah.
And she went by me. And as she walked by, I looked at her. And in my mind, you know, just like, you know, earlier when I wanted to say no to the visit. And I said yes. In my mind, I'm thinking, what kind of a person are you to interrupt a prayer, to interrupt a prayer meeting when something well beyond you is going on? Who do you think you are to say this? Right? I'm thinking, what kind of a person interrupts a prayer? And what comes out of my mouth is, you know, get out, you stupid bitch. And that's a terrible thing to say, you know, especially when you're in a theology master's program and you're trying to, you know, change your heart. But I got to tell you, it's technically accurate and maybe inarticulately exclaimed, but very accurate. Now, come to find out, even though she looked and smelled like a leftist protester, this woman was a reporter, right? Which makes it even worse because the media was told, we will only allow a pool camera and a pool reporter into the room, and you abide by those rules if you're an honorable reporter, because it's a security problem and it's a space problem. But they give one camera and one reporter access, and they come out and read out and give tape to everybody outside. Right?
Yep.
Now, what's funny here is this woman absolutely broke her ethical requirements in a coverage environment, especially for a former president of the United States and candidate for president. Totally broke her. But here's the thing. I wish I hadn't done it. The preachers were all upset at me. And I've got a very long appointment set with my priest tomorrow or sometime. I don't think it's tomorrow. For confession, right? But to be honest with you, you know where Big Tree is?
Yep.
You know, the neighborhood around the stadium, yep. Buffalo Bills Stadium.
Absolutely.
That's where I hung out. That's where I grew up. All my friends were there. It's a rough and tumble neighborhood, you know? And across on the, you know, the stadiums, the dividing line on the other side of the stadium from Big Tree Boys is the Nanny Goat Hill area, when the Nanny Goat Hill gang. And we had two gangs that would fight it out in Buffalo Bills parking lot. It was just like poor imitations of you know The Outsiders, that movie, you know, all these underclass white folk,
yep.
You know, and if somebody comes by a Big Tree Boys barbecue and starts pulling that crap, that, you know, we're not polite, right? That's the way I was raised. If you Google me, you know, I run my mouth. That's what I do. And it gets me in trouble. This, what happened, was a little bit on brand, you know? It's unfortunate, but that's how I was trained as a Big Tree Boy, and the Big Tree Boys haven't changed.
So I'll say this, too. I think, you know, this is we see this all the time with the left, right? God forbid if you or I went to a Joe Biden event and did something like that, my God, we would be arrested and jailed for insurrection probably. You know, that's the frustrating part. And again, I don't, you said what you said, and to be honest with you, in that moment, I probably would have said something very similar, because you're being a disturbance, you're being a jerk, and you're openly trying to, you know, cause friction at something where the president shows up, the former president shows up for 5 to 10 minutes to do something right by all these people that are sitting there, right? And that's what she decided to do.
Yeah, this was my event.
Yeah.
Like, this was my event. I put it all together. My network put it together. Yep. You know, the fact that the president stopped by wasn't something I arranged, right? You know, sure, we have a relationship, goes back several years. Maybe this happened because I was there, but it wasn't about me. It was about the pastors and the prayers, right? And if you interrupt my daughter's wedding, which I hope comes soon, right? If you interrupt my daughter's wedding, I'm going to call you a stupid bitch.
I agree.
And I'm going to be sorry that I used that kind of language, but I'm going to be technically accurate.
Yep. And
my daughter's not going to be proud of me, just like the preachers aren't proud of me. But hey, I'm a flawed man. I'm getting better. And let me tell you something. A couple of years ago, what I said to this woman would have been a lot more spicy.
Well, and I'll say this too. I mean, look, at some point, and this is my point about the revenge tour of Donald Trump, but at some point, people like all of us have to step up and say these certain things, because you know what? We're getting walked all over in this country right now. We can't do anything. Now, does that mean you have to be violent? No, you didn't pick your hands up to her. You didn't punch her or hit her with something, right? You used words. That to me, I don't have a problem with that. You weren't being, you know, racist. You weren't being anything, but you didn't say anything poor other than get the hell out of here. I mean, that again, I'm sure you regret.
I didn't say hell. I did not say hell.
Okay.
I did not say hell.
But you get my point there. But, you know, and I'll say this too. Yeah. I was honored to be invited to Trump's speech by his team. And
yeah, cool.
Very cool.
That's
very cool. Great golf club there. Beautiful place. And a lot of great people there. Mike Lindell was there. Sebastian Gorka was there. His son Eric was there. Many people, donors and whatnot that were there supporting this man, because we all do believe in him, right? It's well known on this radio program, the Financial Guys, who I'm voting for and who I'm behind. And it's Donald Trump. And it's because I believe we need him back. We need that person that can just come out and say, you know what? Screw it. I don't care what any of you think. I'm going to tell it how it is. We need more of that in this country, because we've lost that, and we're softer than we've ever been in history. It's not good.
It's true. It's true. And I can tell you, a guy like Donald Trump, love him or hate him, he's not a soft man. No. And nobody recognizes it more than him, because he's at the center of it. But let's just be honest. I mean, people like who are behind Ron DeSantis, who I like Ron DeSantis. I'm sorry to see this difference between the two of them. Ron DeSantis is a great governor. You know, he was one of the reasons why we moved down here, to be safe. You know, we had to leave Buffalo because of the Antifa and mentally,
deranged,
challenged Democrats who were, deranged, and were protesting outside my house, abusing my daughters. And we finally had to leave. East Aurora was a great place to grow up, let me tell you. I thought it would be a great place for my daughters to grow up, but it's gone to hell. You know, and I think all of New York has. We got out. I advise everybody to get out. It's going to get worse. We love Buffalo. We love East Aurora. But the people aren't as nice. And I can tell you that the same type of people are going to torture anyone else who becomes a Republican president. They're going to torture them the same way. This knife that has been shoved into Donald Trump's chest, back so many times, they're not being sharpened for Donald Trump. They're being sharpened for Republicans. So whether it's Donald Trump or Tim Scott or anyone else, Ron DeSantis, they're going to get the same knives. And that's why people, I mean, I'm hard-pressed. I really am trying to change my opinion. That's why a lot of folks are seeing, like Donald Trump said in his famous speech several weeks ago, a retribution.
Yep.
There's a difference between retribution and revenge, but I can tell you it tastes the same. I'm satisfied with retribution.
And I'll say, Michael, to your point about going after, I mean, they're already going after people like Tim Scott, right? I mean, The View telling him that he is the exception, right? As an African-American running for president, he needs to understand that he's just the exception, right? It's so sad. It's demoralizing for many people. I think that's the biggest thing for me that I look at. Like, this regime, the left, the leftists, all of them, all they do is keep people down. And we need to stop doing that because it's a terrible strategy. You're keeping people down by telling them they're no good nothings and they'll never become anything. I can't believe it in America that we hear that from the left.
Well, it's actually, if you like, I'm in this theology master's program now, and I recently did a course on that included study of the fall of Rome. When Rome fell, it was quite similar. It took some time, but the nation was divided. The republic was divided, and everything fell apart one day at a time. And when it finally fell, you know, the difference here, Mike, and I find this personally disturbing. And my family, we got all wrapped up in this. My career was destroyed. We lost everything. We lost all our money. We lost a lot of friends and family. But we survived, right? When Rome fell, the life went on, right? Rome fell, and actually Christianity grew. I mean, Christianity ascended. We actually ended up with Christian nations. Yep. And, you know, it's different this time. Well, this time Rome is falling, and we're a decidedly post-Christian nation. Right. The Christians are now despised minorities. Witness what happened at Cafe Versailles.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Donald Trump came in to interrupt a prayer meeting and that wasn't something that they could just keep their hands off of it. We're clearly a despised minority. And so how do we live in this environment? One of the things we have to do is elect a Republican president. But we have to understand it won't stop anything.
Nope. It won't.
And you have problems in Western New York that seem to never go away, like this, you know, these infected Democrats who can't, you know, who really know nothing in Western New York and continue to go forward and tear that place apart. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
We have a few. And some of which, by the way, are fine with migrants coming here, you know, unvetted, like Mark Poloncarz is. And, we have people like Mark Poloncarz who also are okay with people, you know, men going into women's bathrooms and things. That's always nice to have in your community.
Of course.
Yeah, Mark's totally fine with it. There's a lot, Michael. I know a few people that have come after you for certain things in this area specifically, but it's really sad. We're a nation that's divided. We're states that are divided. We're counties and local townships that are divided. And again, I don't see it fixing itself anytime soon. All I can say is, and I know you probably agree with the same thing I'm about to say, we need a Donald Trump and the Donald Trump back in the White House in 2024 to bring back some toughness into this country and to bring back some respect into this country, which we've lost both things in 2 years.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, we all have to try to live better lives, and we all need to, love each other. I sound like a hippie, but those of us from Big Tree know, they know I am a hippie. The fact is, the values in Western New York in particular, the core values, the values of Big Tree, the values of Nanny Goat Hill, the values of South Buffalo, the values of the East Side, these aren't the values of the rabid left of Western New York. In fact, they're a decided minority. You know, the Buffalo is unique because we have radical universities in town that harbor Democrat Socialist Alliance members. These people are typically low budget, unemployed, barrister types, but they do swarm, and they swarmed outside my house. And you know, then you have people like Nate McMurray who shows up and decides that he's going to become a leader of the Buffalo left. Yeah. And, you know, he doesn't have brain cells to rub together. And all he does is inflame people that are looking for Biden.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's come out and particularly excoriated me on his Twitter, even though he will never address me in particular. He's angry at me, Mike, because when he ran against Collins and Collins was indicted, he thought he would have a shot at beating him. And he did. But I did some research and I found out, I was in Buffalo at the time, or in East Aurora. I did some research and I found out that the same people who were very, very the research basically showed that the same people who were kind of on the fence voting for Congressman Collins because he had this indictment were really strong supporters of Steve Bannon. I found this little sliver of demographic in the New York 27 district. And so I called Steve, who I've known a while, the team said, hell yeah, I'll come in and do a rally. And we did a rally at the fire hall outside of East Aurora. It was a tremendous rally, got a lot of coverage. I tried to craft more coverage than it deserved, and we got it. And it drove out more Republicans than any other assembly district in the entire state by thousands, and those people voted for Collins. But the problem with McMurray is he blames me for losing, and he's right. And I savor that. The problem, he's out there, like, on Twitter when, you know, accusing me of screaming at a woman. First of all, I didn't know she was a woman because I didn't get to ask her pronouns. Secondly, you know, this guy, you know, McMurray, you know, he's a cad. You know, he sleeps with every woman and that'll give him a shot. He's the kind of guy that never got laid when he was young. And then he becomes this leftist hero, and all these hairy-legged women come up to him and think he's a hero. And he starts, you know, making some time like he was a senior in high school and quarterback of the football team. Unfortunately, he's married, and that all fell apart for him. You know, this guy telling me that I somehow abuse this woman by cussing her out, I think he needs to do a little soul-searching. But that's Nate McMurray, and that's a lot of people in a lot of these weirdo leftists who come out of the university corps, they're just oddballs. And we need to understand that they're the tiniest minority of America. They're the loudest and the smelliest, and they're the most outrageous, but their time in the sun is passing.
Well, it's no different than Eric Swalwell telling us that Donald Trump is compromised, he's banging Chinese spies. So it's a very similar type thing. You can't make this stuff up anymore. And you know, you brought up a couple things. That side, that group, the leftists is what I'll call them. The leftists are the most angry, miserable, unhappy human beings that have ever lived. And that is something right. We need to address in this country, too. Stop with the anger, right? Like, live a life that you enjoy and stop letting everybody tell you that you'll never be successful. You'll never love your life. Enjoy your life and be productive members of society. Stop using and abusing the government. Stop using and abusing taxpayers. Be productive and have a life. And that doesn't mean you have to make millions of dollars, by the way. That just means that you're a productive member of society. And again, the leftists hate that. That they would prefer that you're angry, miserable, and do nothing except smoke pot and eat potato chips on your couch. So,
which sounds like fun, but I'll tell you, for me, it would only be sour cream chips. But how to tell you, I really believe that we're in an existential problem in the United States. I mean, maybe that's because I'm studying theology now. But, you know, one of the books I picked up recently was a book by Rod Dreher, a conservative writer, called The Benedict Option. And without going into too much boring, pointy-headed policy detail, he basically says that we're a post-Christian nation, and people who share Christian values need to huddle up, get yourselves out of the mainstream, get out of New York where you're getting beat up by shirtless weirdos, you know, get out of Buffalo where people are protesting in front of your house and screaming at your daughters, get out and circle up, you know, find a way to share your security, group together, you know, love each other. Now, he calls it the Benedict option because that's the Benedictine tradition, to remove yourself from society that was inspired by St. Benedict. Now, I don't know if you believe that. I'm not sure I do. I am kind of withdrawn from society and circled up with a bunch of my Catholic brethren in a theology program. But we have to start looking at how we can rely on each other based upon love, you know, based upon self, you know, mutual respect, because our leadership is not going to do it for us, not the Democrats and not the Republicans. That's why the whole Beltway class in Washington hates Donald Trump, because he knows them. He smells them. He can understand the grift and the corruption, and he's not one of them, and they can't buy him. Now, that to me sounds like an answer to this problem. The only man who can get the retribution my family wants is Donald Trump. I like Ron DeSantis. I like Tim Scott. But they're not going to go in there with a vengeance. And I think while vengeance is not ours, it's going to be some kind of a component of what happens.
I hope that we get to see another 4 years. And the last thing I'll say before I let you go, I do have the same fears that you have, that they haven't been able to take him out with legal battles yet. I do have a legitimate fear that they will try and go to the next step if they need to. And there's 14 to 18 months to do that. It's a very scary thought. And the last thing I'll say is, but I really do wholeheartedly believe, Michael, if it gets to that and they do that, this country will be over as we know it. It will be a disaster.
Yeah, it will be. I want to say one thing. I don't think Nancy Pelosi is going to go get a rifle and fire it down on Donald Trump from her Capitol perch. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, that's not what happened to Steve Scalise or JFK or RFK or Ronald Reagan. We understand what happens in these situations as they find a mentally deficient person and inspire them. You could believe this conspiracy theories about JFK and RFK and how those assassins were ginned up by the CIA and the FBI and all these conspiracy theories. Sounded really crazy back then, didn't it? Doesn't sound so crazy today after Russiagate and now this J6 crap. We know there were up to 100 FBI agents dressed like Trump supporters, and we can't imagine anything different. So from my perspective, if it does happen, and it's a terrible thought, and I pray to God it doesn't, but if it does happen, it'll be inspired by the rhetoric of the left. So while Nancy Pelosi may not pull the rifle, well, you know, Kathy Hochul won't take the shot. Nate McMurray would never have the courage to do anything of that sort himself. You know, these people who are talking like this and screaming these terrible lies over and over until the weirdos believe them, it's dangerous. I have a guy in Orchard Park right now who has been harassing my family via social media and other ways, following my father around, who's in his 80s and, you know, isn't prepared for this kind of thing. He's been doing it for a year. We had him arrested and prosecuted, and the judge is just nothing. The guy's got guns. He's nuts. And, you know, he's your neighbor in Orchard Park. So what's going to happen in this, you know, to the president of the United States? I don't know. But some weirdo is going to play a role, and I pray to God the president stays safe.
God bless that, and amen to that. We need somebody like him back, and I hope that he's the answer. And I hope that the left is not as evil as we think they can be. Michael Caputos, they are. I agree with you. Michael Caputos, senior executive at Americano Media. Thank you again for joining us. As always, we love having you on every quarter. It seems like we bring you on for a quick bit. We appreciate it, folks. If you need us throughout the week, 833-FIN-GUYS. Don't forget about our podcast Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, financialguysmedia.com, and our 15-minute morning daily brief also on financialguysmedia.com, 8:15 every Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. And don't forget, of course, about our Saturday radio show on WBEN and WHAM, 1 to 3 every single Saturday of the year. Thanks again for joining us, Michael. We will see you next week.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.